From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast on this Thursday morning. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio, Jeffrey Wright joining us here in a bit. I successfully got Jeffrey riled up with one question that I knew would rile up Jeffrey, so we'll get to that in a few minutes on today's show. A show brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Next door to the Oxford Crystal, you get the pimento cheese bites. I'm assuming they're back in business, back in stock, so go check them out. They sold out for a reason, so you can give them a try. They're on Highway 6 West. Happy birthday to Ben Craddock today. He's turning, I think, 29.
He's 30 today.
Have that right. So happy birthday to Ben. As I wrote on Twitter, it sounds like hyperbole. It's not. Mississippi's better because of Ben Craddock. So happy birthday.
Hillary really robbed the cradle there.
If he's 30?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it means he punted for Ole Miss or whatever he did at like 8. So, you know,
yeah.
it's
he was young.
Yeah, very young. Scholar athlete, if you will. Anyway, Oxford Exxon, Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West, and coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford you're looking for. Give him a couple ideas. He'll send you quotes. Right to the bottom line. There's no haggling, no hassle. It's easy. You get your quotes, and you probably end up doing what I did, which is say, okay, and you end up getting a great Ford product. You get great delivery options, fantastic service after the sale, all of those things from Corey and the great people there at Clark Ford, and then you can tell them near the end of your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcasts. We'll give you a little bit of a podcast schedule here in a second. Mention any of those, and it's $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900.
Yes, if you're not sick of one Jeffrey Wright, you'll get him on a beer garden. It will publish today. Tomorrow morning.
Probably publish today.
Oh, because, yeah, it's through that system. That's right. So that today, you get a soft verbal this week as well with Russell Johnson. That will go up in the morning.
We're taping it later this morning.
Yeah.
You'll put it together.
And then
published tomorrow.
And then a greatest pod in the South as well sometime today also.
No, it's so, has to be tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Jay is in Orlando wrapping up his final vacation of the
How many vacations is this human taking? Because I was going to make fun of you, but he's taking the cake. And, I mean, he goes to scenic locales like Gatlinburg. I understand that. But he's gone to Mexico on a swing tour.
Yes.
He's gone to Gatlinburg, and now he's in Orlando.
He's in Orlando.
Is he doing Disney?
It appeared that he and his fanny pack were doing.
Fanny pack?
He wears a fanny pack that says party on the side.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
With white hair.
Well, it's yellow.
That's true. It was never white. He was incorrect.
To be white.
He should have put something else on it then, because it's nowhere close to white.
No, it's
gold.
It's gold. It's gold.
It looks like what it looks like when high school baseball teams think they should turn their hair blonde because somebody else did it.
Yeah, it's gold. But he and I are taping tomorrow, so that will be published sometime probably late tomorrow. It might even be into Saturday before you get it, but you'll get it. Episode number 21, that will be of Greatest Pod in the South.
I just noticed this. Kind of cracked me up. Somebody overnight sent us the clip of Tanaka from Major League 2.
Yes.
Really good character. He cracks me up. In a movie that's not good, he's the best new character there is in that movie.
Carson watched Major League for the first time yesterday, and I went up and watched a little of it. There's a lot of foul language in it.
Were you a little hesitant?
No, because whether right or wrong, I know that he's heard every one of those words.
So it was like the full edition.
Yeah.
You got the nudity and the language and everything.
The whole deal.
Okay.
I just trusted his maturity.
Okay.
I said, I would tell you that you know you can't talk.
Well, you know, because we've talked about this when I ask... when I asked Mike that day what his favorite baseball movie was, and he looked at me like I had eight heads and didn't really give me an answer for a minute, he finally said, well, it's Bull Durham, but he mentioned how he didn't really like Catherine watching it, so he has to catch himself at times as he's become a father and everything's happened.
My philosophy on parenthood is probably not good. I mean, it's turned out okay so far.
You're an above-average father.
But my philosophy on a lot of things, especially the overprotective portions,
yeah, you're not a helicopter parent.
Is that they're going to see all these things anyway. You're the people who try to shelter their kids from everything. I'm not criticizing them. I just don't understand the philosophy because they're you can't control what they're exposed to at school, in their social circles. They're going to do. Here's the newsflash. They're probably going to do all the things you did when you were a kid.
And probably them a year or two earlier.
And so you just have to have communication, I think. That's all I really try to do is just communicate. The whole deal of, hey, you know you can send me a text that says, come get me, and I'll come get you. No questions. Just basic stuff. Let me know when you're coming home. My answer to the questions of can I is usually yes. Because that way, when I do say no, I think in the back of their minds, they go, well, he probably has a good reason.
It's more impactful.
Yeah, if you just say no,
now you're just being a jerk.
Yeah, hey, I'm going over to so-and-so's. Is that
and
okay?
Look, they're going to do it anyway, and they're going to be quite more enthusiastic about whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, you see that even, I mean, to the points of college. I mean, I'm not naming names here, even though they're not listening to the podcast. I mean, I had a buddy that was sheltered like crazy in high school, and then they get to college and just goes crazy. And it was just because, I mean, it was thumb on you every second in high school, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's a little freedom here. About to lose my mind.
If you don't let your kids learn time management on their own, when they get to college, and college, half of college is about time management, and they can't handle time management, some of that's on you. So I, like with Campbell and Caroline, I mean, Carson's a sixth grader, but Campbell and Caroline are in high school. We just don't manage it like that. We're like, okay.
There's a curfew, but there's more of a stay in touch policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me know where you are. Let me know you're okay.
You've been, I mean, you haven't restricted it because of it, but you've been nervous about the whole drive thing over the last months.
Oh, the college thing?
No, just in general, just her driving.
Oh,
and
yeah, I mean
everything.
It's not really her. It's
just in general.
You drive around, and you get nervous about the other people driving. You know, the people that are driving with their cell phone above their steering wheel.
That is your 2018 mission.
My
is
God.
The cell phone.
It's incredible the people that drive around with their cell phone above the steering wheel, just staring at it. There's hunks of steel all over you moving quickly. Pay some degree of attention. So I worry about that. I mean, the whole college thing, literally the only part of the college thing that I really worry about is the driving part of it.
Because we've all done this. I mean, even not the cell phone, but you know this. You're off in your own head, just in your thoughts, and you'll get somewhere and go, how'd I get here?
Oh, yeah.
I remember nothing about this drive. I'm just on autopilot.
I did it. Oh, gosh. Coming back from Atlanta. He was asleep in the back. And I turned off all the stuff. I didn't really feel like listening to anything for a little while.
Silence.
Yeah, just silence. Just in my own thoughts, was thinking about stuff. And I looked up, and, man, we were like in Sherman. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
we
yeah,
had
yeah.
to turn, and I'm like, oh, man, how did I? Whoa, when did I? I could not remember passing that area, like where the Tupelo Mall and stuff
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
I could not remember. I kept saying, when did I pass that? And I knew, obviously I did, but I had no recollection of passing that, what would have been 15 minutes earlier.
So, point being, we've done this game with the regular Major League, but I pulled up Major League 2 on Rotten Tomatoes just because I was curious. Care to gander, I guess.
I would guess it did poorly in both categories, worse with the critics. Well, I would say the critics gave it like a 15.
Okay.
And I would guess an audience gave it like a 40.
Okay, you're pretty good. You're really good on audience. Audience gave it a 45.
Okay.
Critics, you were way too generous. They gave it a 5.
That's fair.
There is one positive review on this movie from critics. And I don't know why. I think this guy probably was being sarcastic or something. It's Kevin Ranson from MovieCrypt.com. You might want to look him up. He says, inexplicably, it outshines the original.
No. No, it does not. The original was pretty good.
The original was great.
No.
The original made $50 million even back then in 89 or whatever it was.
You know what I noticed was in that clip was that Pedro Serrano, he had gained some weight from episode 1 to episode 2. His face was like puffy.
It's almost juice.
Maybe he was steroiding. Just, it went way too cliche in the sequel, Major League 2. It was bad.
From Karen James of the New York Times. And I love this. Like, the movie critic from the New York Times gets, here's your movie for the weekend, Major League 2. And she goes, oh, God. There's rarely been such a steep and strange decline between a movie and its sequel as this one between the fast, silly original and the dismal, boring Major League 2.
That's fair.
That's very fair.
Can't argue with any of that. I would say get off your high horse, but nope, stay on it. You're right. Keep riding.
Yeah, let me go back and I know we've done this before, but I don't remember. What did Major League get on Rotten Tomatoes? 1989. I mean, I'm sure it was still bad. No, even good with the critics. 82% critics on Major League.
It's a good film.
That's a success for the critics, though, because they didn't make too much of it. They just watched the movie, laughed, and said, okay, well, I'm all in. I'm good.
They did a really good job in Major League of developing characters. There was a love story. It was well done. It was a solid movie.
You're entertained. You know going in, look, this is not going to be a social piece.
Well, no, and the people who go to movies looking for reality, I don't know what to tell you.
And it has some negative reviews. There's still a few curmudgeons. Oh, good grief. Here's one.
Okay.
Carrie Rickey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Someone should tell Ward, I'm assuming a director, that winning isn't everything. Character is, and that is what this movie lacks.
Oh, good grief.
I bet she's fun at parties.
Don't you know? It's like Rick Morrissey in the Chicago Sun-Times, which surprisingly still exists, wrote a column about Joe Madden, critical of Joe Madden for some of the idiosyncrasies of Joe Madden. About how it's all about Joe Madden, and when he does the thing where he lets position players pitch, that it's all about him. It's like, no, dude, no, that's not it.
He understands it's a marathon.
He also,
if you can't keep these guys light and cheery and in a good mood, you run the risk of really making this feel like a long season.
Rick Morrissey was pissed off that in the midst of a 7-1 loss to Arizona, players were on the field laughing in the ninth inning. Because everyone knows that the pennant is won or lost on July.
Every 162 has got to be the most serious thing in the world.
Isn't that crazy? That does not work. So instead of it being this dismal, oh my God, everything's wrong night, where, hey, even came out that Chris Bryant's shoulder's bad again, he might have to go back on the DL. There's a lot of negatives. You let some of the cloud go off by letting Anthony Rizzo throw two pitches in a Major League Baseball game, and he gets an out. And he gets a big ovation, and his teammates, because they know the backstory of him begging to pitch, they get a kick out of it. On the other side, Paul Goldschmidt will never pitch in a game. Okay, great. And I don't know, how do you question if it works? Madden's been in Chicago for 3 years. They've been in the National League Championship Series for 3 years. The current team, which is one that I don't think as composed today can win a playoff series based on its pitching, has the best record in the National League. How can you as a columnist criticize that team?
Look, there's nothing in the world more annoying as a species more than the curmudgeon baseball writer.
Columnist.
Fair enough.
because the curmudgeon baseball writer has been phased out. What you have now is the much younger, analytically driven baseball writer who writes a lot of insightful stuff that almost goes way too inside baseball. They're not curmudgeon-y anymore. The columnist, though, the old 60-year-old who's like, "Don't tell me about launch angle."
Yeah, it's the scout in Moneyball.
Yes,
mad about the statistics.
Yes,
or the analytics. Yeah.
John Lester gave up a home run yesterday, I think to AJ Pollock, and the launch angle was 42 degrees, which means there's only a 19% probability on a 42 degree launch angle. There's only a 19% probability of a hit.
Okay.
And the ball got out at Wrigley. It got in the wind a little bit and got out. And he, I think jokingly, Lester's old school, big time, I think jokingly said, "I went and yelled at the analytics people." Because you said launch angle was, you know, you said if it's 42 degrees or whatever, he knew his launch angle because that's not supposed to be a hit. And they're like, "Yeah, it's probabilities, John. 19% means that
one in five
that it does end up as a hit." Anyway, but the old,
yeah, it's like was it Clint Eastwood in Trouble with the Curve? Potentially the worst baseball movie ever filmed. Like it might be worse than Major League Two.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it.
Well, because Keith Law tore it apart, and now Keith is Keith.
Yeah,
but he made a lot of points. I mean, it is from a point of being realistic, it is the worst baseball movie ever filmed. Major League Two, Major League Three is a more accurate depiction of baseball than Trouble with the Curve.
That's where they're the Buzz,
the Salt Lake Buzz. Yes,
yeah, that's not good.
That one's a bad one.
That's bad.
Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap fame is in that one. Were you a big Quantum Leap guy back in the day?
No.
Were you not?
No, not even a little.
I'm right, though, right? Wasn't it Quantum Leap?
I think so.
It's Back to the Miners is what it was called, because I was looking it up. And that's when you know you're just making a movie for money purposes. Go, "Hey, we really have no storyline here. Look, if we put them all in AAA, let's do that."
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis Haysbert, Serrano, Dorn, and Scott Bakula. It actually did better. So it was a critical success compared to Major League Two. It went to 21%.
Oh.
The audience dropped it to 24%, however.
Yeah, Carson mentioned that one. He goes, "Isn't there a Major League Three?" And I said, "No, there's not."
No. It's over there with Rocky Five in the Lost Cause category.
Yeah. Everybody gets a mulligan. That's a golf term, mulligan. Yeah. That's the mulligan. Throw that out. I give the whole Rocky franchise one mulligan of Rocky Five. That it no longer happened.
Which means that Creed 2's got to be good.
It does. So it has to be good. And I'm cynical.
There was a Quantum Leap movie called The Leap Home.
Oh, I hate that I missed that.
Did you miss that one?
Yep.
Just saying. Yeah, Quantum Leap was on from... It started in 1989. Don't know how long it went. A time travel experiment went wrong since physicist Sam Beckett, back in time, where he assumes other people's identities and helps to resolve the crisis of the new host.
Oh.
I think when I was staying with my great-grandmother growing up, for some reason she watched that, so it stuck in my head. And I have some Quantum Leap memories from when I was... Like I said, she almost made me a Cubs fan because she watched the Cubs on WGN every day. But it probably, I tell you what, Quantum Leap was probably on WGN.
It probably came on right after the Cubs game.
Right. I probably was still on that channel, so I saw tons of Quantum Leap from Cubs games.
Cubs finished about 4. We joined
something
Quantum
before
Leap
the news.
In progress, yeah.
Yeah. Right before you got the WGN 5 o'clock Chicago news.
Yeah.
I bet that's what it was.
Actually, I think the WGN, they did 6 o'clock news, so there was a whole hour and some change there before they went to the news.
I hadn't looked it up, but I'm right. But there was some syndication or something there. Just saying. So
what's up in the world of sports?
I don't know. We'll talk about it in a minute after we come back. Let's go to Jeffrey. We do talk some sports with Jeffrey, so we'll go to him. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs. They have a great app. They have a website at TysonDrugs.com. 662-252-2321 is the phone number. Also now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar. They're going to have a grand reopening there, and they deliver everywhere through the Oxford area.
We've been telling you about Robert Gambrell and Gambrell & Associates for a while. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you may be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection. This is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. Also, many of your friends and or relatives that get into difficult financial situations, you know you have those. Refer them to Gambrell & Associates. They help many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are primarily worried about their credit score for those people. Many times they refer their clients to Brian McLaurin, another advertiser on this podcast. However, sometimes people find the fastest way to rebuild credit is similar to what the Cubs did, the Astros did, tear it down, start over. This can be done by filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. Whatever your needs are, you, your relatives, or friends can get a free consultation for 1 hour or more to help make your decision on what is best for you. Look up Robert Gambrell on AVVO.com or superlawyers.com or give him a call, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Great service. I've dealt with Grenada Nissan really since I've been here, more than 10 years. They're fantastic at what they do. You will enjoy them as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You get local underwriting, understands your market, and the float down option. So ask Jason about that at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's J-A-L-O-W-E, at CommunityMTG.com. Now Jeffrey Wright on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Jeffrey, good morning. We were discussing what to talk about today. You're probably doing the same for your show coming up. I'm so glad that media days happened, because that means football season started. Yet somehow, for a week or two here, we have nothing to talk about. It actually might be the worst lull of the summer as things sort of kind of gear up, or maybe we're just anticipating it finally picking up, so we're making this worse than it really is.
Yeah. I do think, though, we've gotten away from the whole narrative that media days is the kickoff of football season, right?
We have.
I don't feel like I hear that anymore.
You only hear that from either people who are old and grizzled and refuse to change, or from people who only talk about football.
And are really, really, really excited.
Yeah, and are just, because football's, that's it. It's
right. Like, I'm really excited about football. Too, like, training camps opened yesterday. Like, 22 teams had their veterans report and whatnot. But it's like, I'm excited that football's close, but it's also like when you're 9 and you know that Christmas is 6 weeks away. Like, it's the longest 6 weeks of your life. Like, it just the days just go by, like, just so slowly. And, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I can't allow myself to think that football's almost here. Like, media days for me is more or less now. I mean, I think Neil, Jay, and Gabe kind of hit it pretty much spot on. It's like, you don't even have to be there anymore, because whatever's said is instantaneously out there. You know, it's tweeted immediately. It's on television now. Like, so media days, like, has no, like, it used to be, like, at least, like, with media days, like, you knew, oh, okay, awesome, like, you know, if you were in Mobile, you knew that Neil was going to write, you know, 8 pages on every team in the SEC, and so you could kind of, like, learn about some of the teams of the SEC when you're little. Now, like, that's, no one cares about that. I mean, I don't even think the sports section's 8 pages anywhere anymore. So, like, I don't even know, like, what the appeal of it is anymore, other than, like, I guess if you're in our business, I think the only appeal is you get to go and be in the same room with everyone that covers college football. So if you need guests and you need stuff, you can do it that way.
Yeah. The only reason I went was to get a podcast guest. And yeah, because I mean, Jay was going to be there, and it was a chance for us to knock out two greatest pods in the South.
And if you're on Radio Row, it's great because you can get guests that you probably normally wouldn't get.
It was so funny. I was walking down Radio Row. I'd agreed to do a couple of shows with people who've been kind enough to come on this show before. And so I was like, yeah, I'll come do it. And this year you had the print slash internet people were in the College Football Hall of Fame, and all of the radio people were next door at the Omni. It was just, it's a 1 minute walk. It's not a big deal. And anyway, I went up into the Omni, into the radio deal, and I did a show, and I'm leaving, and literally three or four people who had no idea who the hell I was, looking at my lanyard, trying to figure out who I am. And they go, hey, could you come on? It's just, they're just grabbing anyone. It's like, man, you must be really desperate if you're just pulling me over on the side to say, hey, random guy, come talk Ole Miss because they're here today. It's that kind of thing. So I don't even know that it serves that purpose anymore. I'm going to go to Destin. I've talked about it for Chase and I and you when you were here. We always talked about it. I'm going to go to Destin and I'll go cover that. I'm going to go to Destin this year.
You got
to
get invited.
I think I can make that happen.
Okay.
I checked with some people.
Did you?
I know how to get it done. I'm going to get invited to Destin.
Wait. Oh, actually, that makes sense. I bet you probably haven't burned many bridges at the actual office, right?
Well, you know, Jay was giving him crap because Jay got invited and Neil has not been given that invitation the last few years.
Don't you have to? Isn't it kind of like a fraternity thing where kind of like you have to let it known you want the invite?
Yeah, you have to request the invitation. And so I'm going to request the invitation. There will be people there who aren't thrilled that I get it, but I think for the most part I'm passable. They like me, okay. So I'll go there, and then
biggest enemy at the SEC office, person that hates you the most is
hates me?
Yeah.
That's too strong. I probably irritate some of the communications people with some of the things that I write and say.
Fair enough.
I don't think they hate me. I don't think they ever think I'm unfair. I think
I would say it's just that you make their job because you don't buy the company line. And they're in communications, your whole job is to spin a narrative.
Yeah, I'm not big enough to really make waves, so it doesn't matter. And it's little things like, you know, I don't think they liked when I said that I thought, for example, that had Mike Slive still been the commissioner, some of what happened to Ole Miss wouldn't have happened because he would have bullied the NCAA. I've had that debate with some people there, and I don't know that they completely agree with that assessment. I don't know that they completely disagree with it either. That's a convoluted matter. When I say that the league is overrated in football, that irritates people, but the league is typically overrated in football. It has been the last few years. Now, the flip side is the league was underrated in basketball, and I said as much going in. So I don't know that they sit around and say, hey, what did Neil McCready say today? In fact, I know that they did not and do not because I'm not big enough to matter. If I were a much bigger market person, they might get – if I were in Birmingham, for example, they might get more irritated.
Jeffrey, just because I think this is kind of fun at this point, Neil and I had our bit of a freeze anniversary podcast earlier in the week. I'm helping you here. I asked David Brandt question.
I wanted like the whole day.
Well, I think Neil said you could have a greatest pod in the South hour. I think that's what, because some of your takes might be more suitable for that audience. So I thought that might be a better place for you to opine. But I'm going to ask you this. It's been a year. In 9 more years, 10 years, what's Freeze's lasting legacy at Ole Miss? What is it? What's going to be the thing that's remembered in 10 years?
I think in 10 years there will be some perspective and people will realize how badly he left that program.
Okay.
Don't you, Neil?
Yes, 100%.
In 10 years, because the truth is, like, it hasn't, like, last year 6-6 wasn't that bad. Like, but you're about to, like, Dylan and I have gone through this. When you look at the roster for next year.
For 2019.
When I say next year, I don't mean this coming football season. I mean the next football season. Like,
you can make the argument. I don't know how right or wrong it is because I haven't seen Scotty Phillips and different things, and I get Matt Corral was highly recruited. You can make the argument the best offensive player on next year's team is Braylon Sanders.
Or Dawson Knox.
I was actually going to say Dawson Knox, but yeah. I mean, that's a little, I guess.
You could make the Braylon Sanders argument, sure.
I mean, I guess it's going to be on how good, how good is Matt Corral? How do you say it? Corral?
I think it's Corral. I mean, even if he's really good, he's a redshirt freshman / little used sophomore quarterback. I mean, I'm with you. And this is the part that is going to be frustrating for me on a multitude of levels next year. I'm already bracing myself emotionally for it. People are going to want to blame Matt Luke for 2019.
Nope.
And I will refuse to blame Matt Luke for 2019.
This year I won't either.
And it's not his fault. Whatever happens, look, I firmly believe, and I know you agree, and I think Chase agrees. In fact, I know Chase agrees.
Mm-hmm.
That team last year went 6-6, and I don't believe it would have gone 6-6 under Hugh Freeze. I think it would have done worse.
That was the one, to me, the one bad part about Hugh getting fired, forcibly resigning and leaving $17 million on the table. Because I know when I resign a job, I leave $17 million right there just sitting. The saddest part of it all was that he was not going to be there to take all those L's. And he was going to take a lot of L's. And the biggest part for me is there's still, for whatever reason, even though people saw the 2016 season, no one really, like, the cult of Freeze doesn't, like, acknowledge it. And so, like, I that was a bad football team. Like, that was a 5-7 football team. But it's almost like because, like, Hugh Freeze got Eric Church on College Game Day to say it was the best 3-loss team in the country or something like that. Like, everyone started buying into it, which is insane to me because last year was going to be the
Eric Church.
Like, everyone was, like, getting so the entire, not only the football team, but everyone around there was so sick of Freeze. It was just, all of us have seen that when it just all spirals and it was going to be just the pit of pits. And so they would have lost so many football games. And it's a damn shame that he didn't get to do that. And the truth is when they hired Matt Luke for the football team, maybe not for the fan base, but for the football team, it was kind of a breath of fresh air.
Took a quick break from Jeffrey to tell you the podcast is also brought to you by Locker Stockers. Take the hassle out of stocking your locker or suite this football season. The customer places their order, and they handle purchase and delivery to the locker or suite before game day. Also, get the early sign-up bonus, 10% off a season package. If you sign up before August 1st, call 662-586-1487 or email at info@lockerstockers.com.
Speaking of football season, it'll be tailgate season here as well pretty soon. September the 8th is Ole Miss's home opener. Southern Illinois comes to town. It's the first of 7 games at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. First of 7 tailgate opportunities in the Grove or in the Circle or wherever on campus you set up your tailgate. Wherever that is, 7 South Tailgating can take care of you. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South once and you'll never tailgate without them again. They can set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. No matter how intricate or simple your tailgate is, no matter how many times you're coming up, whether you're coming just to the conference games, just to a game here or a game there, or whether you're coming to every game, there's a package from you. Get in touch, 7southtailgating.com. Now back to the Billy's Pecans Hotline and one Jeffrey Wright. Oh, there's no doubt it was an exhale. And they played hard for him. They did. They played hard for him. If whether you like or dislike Matt Luke, and how you could dislike him is beyond me, but whether you thought it was time for a complete change or whether you thought he deserved the job or whatever, the one thing you had to give him was there were times when, I mean, let's think about last year. You're not playing for a bowl. You know you're not playing for a bowl. The season starts to get away. I mean, it's halftime of that game at Auburn.
You got beat by 100 points in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's halftime at Auburn, and it's like, I don't want to be hyperbolic here, 35-3?
It was 38-3.
38-3 at the half at Jordan-Hare. And Jordan-Hare, they're playing their little fight song, and all the kids there are like, hey, where are we about to go? Let's go get some let's go drink, right? And it, that football team, under a different guy, I'm telling you, they roll over in the second half. And I'm not the guy that goes, oh, they made a game of it. They did not make a game of it. But they showed life that they continued to show for the rest of the season. They lost that weird game to Arkansas where they played a great half followed by a horrible half, but they bounced back. They went to Kentucky, and I'll be honest, I thought they were going to roll over. And they didn't. The narrative of 2017 is so mistold by so many people, but they always showed up. And I'm not convinced they show up if that's Hugh Freeze coaching that team last year to what I think would have been 4-8, 5-7, and a lot of disgruntled. I don't think he could have continued to do some of the motivational kind of the those kids were sick of some of the stuff that was going on. They were tired of it. I don't know. But what's going to happen is I think this year's team, and Chase, he and I have talked about it a lot. You can argue they could get to seven wins. They, depending on what the quarterback situation is, he's got to be more consistent than he was last season, but he probably will be because now he's got some games under his belt. Defensively, they've got to come up with some answers, and I'm not sure that the formula is there to get those answers, but they could win 6-7 games, and it's passable. And then in 2019, I think there's almost an inevitable fall off, and people are going to want to blame Luke for that and say it's his third year. It's not his third year. People are going to want to blame Matt Luke for that, and that's where this fight's going to happen inside of a fan base where, the, in my opinion, the intelligent people are going to say this is not on him. Now you
to
can,
all the Matt Luke haters, and here's what it stems from. It stems from the how poorly Ole Miss ran the football. Kindly go, just absolutely go off yourself. If you're one of those people that gets on a keyboard and just hammers out how bad of a coach Matt Luke is, you don't know football. Because the biggest, notice last year, what was the one difference, Neil, between last year's football team and the pretty much every other football team under the Hugh Freeze era? Which, by the way, Matt Luke was the offensive line coach for, correct?
Yeah,
he was.
The one difference last year is Matt Luke could actually say, hey, this blocking scheme where we pull half of our offensive line against SEC defensive linemen, this is dumb. This doesn't allow us to run the football. They started getting in a three-point stance. They started firing off more. They did things that an offensive lineman would want to do. And lo and behold, holy crap, last year they could run the football. It's so funny. It's funny how all these people that told me how dumb and how idiotic I was about Hugh Freeze and my thing on his offense, it's funny how almost every single thing I said turned out to be right. They couldn't run the football because Hugh's not actually a good offensive mind.
I think what happened at Jordan-Hare at halftime, and I think Matt and Jack Bicknell and the people over there are frankly too diplomatic to say it. I think they said, F it, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down our way. If this is, if I'm not going to get this job, I mean, I think Matt was and is smart enough to know that that season, at a minimum, everybody does the dream job thing and all that, and I get it. He's got all sorts of ties to Ole Miss. He loves Ole Miss. His wife Ashley loves Ole Miss. I get all of that. Matt's also a football coach. He knew this was an audition for him. And by God, I'm going to put my stamp on this. And he did. And you're right. They got more physical. They incorporated Wilkins more. It's why going into fall camp, one of the things I just want to see, do you have a running back who can do, or a running back by committee of people who can do what Wilkins did? Because if they can, I think they're going to try to do the exact same things that they did at the end of last season when they were a pretty good offensive team because they could run the football. And they could convert third and one.
Here's the other truth. I'm not sure this Shea Patterson thing gets resolved in the manner that it does if Hugh's still coaching. I mean, Hugh was – that's the other thing. Hugh's not a good talent identifier. Like, I mean, remember when we did that hypothetical a couple summers back, would you trade the rights to Shea Patterson for – I think it was Dak or something.
Yeah, we did Dak Prescott.
Well, and everyone thought, like, we were insane. Turns out I was right about proposing that too.
What was the deal? It was you would give up the long term rights to Shea Patterson for Dak Prescott's senior year.
In 16, right. Yeah.
In 16.
It ended up being just a moot point because Chad Kelly was awesome. And Chad Kelly, but yet again, like that's the thing. Hugh Freeze would have been exposed so many times, and he got bailed out at like the 11th hour. And I'm not saying like he doesn't get credit for offering Chad Kelly a scholarship. But in my opinion, Les Miles deserved to be fired just for not offering Chad Kelly a scholarship. Because if Chad Kelly gets offered by LSU, he would have been there. And Miles probably wins a title.
Yeah, they might win a national title.
I mean, that still is amazing to me. And, yeah, he gets all the credit in the world for it. He did it, and it's whatever. But the ability to transform your program, to build it and then transform it, hitting 2-for-2 on JUCO quarterbacks will consistently be the thing that baffles me with the entire thing on how lucky and advantageous that is. Because if Bo Wallace flops, they never turn that recruiting class, they never do any of that stuff, and then Chad takes them to the next level. I mean, 2-for-2 on JUCOs. Doesn't happen.
No. The better part is he was ready to get rid of them, both of them. He was sick of Bo's antics, and he was sick of Chad's antics.
Because, I mean, Bo doesn't turn his ankle, and Chad's not at Ole Miss.
I still think it's the best hypothetical ever.
Yeah.
For Ole Miss football.
Well, it does make you wonder, and it's
He can't identify. He was desperate for both of them.
Well, here's the thing that
he knew they were both going to pan out. He had no other options.
I know you're running out of time. Here's the part that blows me away, okay? And it's too convoluted to get into in 2 minutes. We'll tease it for another time. You go through that entire season in 2016 and you or tw- was it 2017? 2016.
What are you asking?
16 was Freeze's last year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, whenever that season when
16 was Kelly's last year.
Okay,
and this is my favorite part. He got hurt because they couldn't put they couldn't put Georgia Southern away.
Yeah, I was thinking about the year that Bo got hurt in Fayetteville. So you go through that entire season. You've seen Kincaid, you've seen Ryan Buchanan all year. It's November when Bo gets hurt. You've presumably scouted Chad Kelly. You know what he can do. He didn't change athletically in November and December of that year.
Well, no, he accepted the Lord.
But that's kind of where I'm going. You're going to pass on him based on some stuff that happened at Clemson where he made an ass of himself in a spring game based on kind of this, well, we recruit a different kind of kid. Meanwhile, you know you yourself are doing all of these things. Why are you so obsessed with image and not the final product? It's the part that it's really beyond what I can understand. It's the part of when people say, why are so many people around the league back then so angry at Ole Miss? Why are they so irritated with Freeze? Well, that's why. That's why.
On top of that, you had the Kim Dichies on your roster. Like,
yeah.
You can't play that game and say Chad Kelly is Chad Kelly's some type of rotten apple that's going to, you know, some type of disease that's going to infest your program.
You can't say
Denzel on the team.
Yeah, you can't say we recruit a different kind of kid and you're building your entire roster around Robert Kim Dichie. It just that's it's hypocritical. But that's I think in a word you asked to round this out. Chase asked what will his You know what? This might be the answer for you, Chase. What's his legacy in 10 years? Hypocrisy.
Who's on the show today, Jeff?
So we're going to have Jason Cole on the program. Neil, of course, will be joining. Neil will be hosting the Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 as well. I want to propose this before we leave.
Okay.
All right, so hypocrisy might be the word. Here is the one saving grace, though, for Freeze. He has someone who's never going to trash him is probably pound for pound, dollar for dollar, every single year, the single biggest donor in that athletic department. And I'm curious to know, you've never really heard publicly, even maybe not publicly, but maybe like off the record, you don't really hear the blame on Freeze that I think should be on Freeze. And I think there's a lot to do with that.
last thing, does some of that blame happen and more stuff come out if Freeze ends up an assistant recruiting Mississippi for another school?
I mean, I just maybe, yes. But I don't know. I mean, I think the problem with Ole Miss is always scared. They're always scared to fight and to do what it takes. And I'm sure they're going to be scared. Hey, man, we signed a lot of papers. And what if we don't, you know, what if something gets traced back?
Yeah, just curious. So anyway, have a good day, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks to Jeffrey a ton, as always. It really feels like a Friday show, but goodness help us. We actually have another one of those tomorrow. In the meantime, I'll tell you that the name to know in Memphis real estate is Stacy Berry. That makes Memphis specifically your home by using Keller Williams and Stacy. Whether you're trying to go into downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville, she was born and raised in the Bluff City and knows the dynamic and unique intricacies the city has to offer. Want to put you in the 901 today. First-time home buyer looking to downsize, Stacy will evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollars. If you're looking to sell a home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, the Berry Home Team can unlock Memphis for you. 901-481-6420. Stacy Lane Berry at kw.com and theberryhometeam.com. That's Stacy with an E, the name to know in Memphis.
So if you're looking in Memphis, it's Stacy Berry. If you're looking in Oxford or the surrounding area, it's Harry Alexander. Harry's with RE/MAX Legacy Realty. He's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. He's also been with us for quite a while here on the podcast. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the front top left. Filter through by what you are looking for. It's an ever-changing real estate market here in Oxford. You want an expert so that you make sure you get a deal you're happy with now and down the road. And that's Harry. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Pocket Steps are brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is where you find out how to sign your annual contract. We'll take care of your yard all year long, outdoor living areas, outdoor kitchen areas, or yard aeration. Time to get that done as well. MasterCuts can help, 662-607-7773. So, you ask what's going on in the sports world, and the answer is not a lot. We, as I mentioned with Jeffrey at the Open, we really do have about a 10-day lull here before camps get going. It at least sort of feels like we've made it through, or however you want to phrase it, the summer of a summer without a lot of drama, honestly, compared to what we're used to, because we are so conditioned for something every 2 to 3 days popping that is insane that you're getting the remnants of this Rebel Rags thing. They were in court yesterday in New Albany. And as of this moment, I know everybody wants it to be. Everybody tries to make it to be. It's just not an Ole Miss thing right now. It's a situation where, as Ross Bjork told us on this podcast 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, that he's just a spectator. Ole Miss is not helping in any way. Ole Miss is not assisting. Ole Miss is just kind of watching from afar because they do not believe, and it makes all the sense in the world, that it has any impact on them, frankly, because the if this thing ran all the way through, if you went, you do have depositions and you have a trial and everything, Ole Miss will have served its probation before its completion. Completely done would be in the clear and on the other side. So there's nothing from a time schedule that, even if there was some smoking gun with the NCAA, which I highly doubt, because you look at the Todd McNair case, and Todd McNair, just from reading it, felt like he had all the evidence in the world to prove just corruption up and down the NCAA. The NCAA won that case. It wasn't just a stalemate. They won somehow. So as of now, without seeing anything moving forward, it just doesn't seem logical that this has any Ole Miss flavor to it whatsoever. It is a business owner fighting to not lose advertising rights. As we've told you on this podcast, as Ross told you on this podcast, Terry's not in danger of losing license. License go for manufacturers. The person making the goods is who needs license. Nike needs a license, Adidas, whatever. Terry's the retailer, so he just gets it from the companies that actually have the license and brand it. So there's been a lot of miscommunication there or misunderstanding more than anything else. But he would lose advertising rights should he be disassociated, obviously. There's a stay right now because of the pending things, pending the appeal. So he is not currently disassociated, I don't think. But either way, that's the main thing from an Ole Miss perspective. Just until there's a reason to believe that something incriminating is actually coming out of this, and when you look at the McNair case, I can't make this be related to Ole Miss athletics at this time.
Yeah, you summarized that pretty well. I'm sure you get more of it than I get. Why aren't you guys focusing on this? Because it's still in the very early phases of the system.
I mean, the first milestone is going to happen whenever Judge Luther in the next month, 2 months, whatever, decides whether or not to let it continue. He's asked for transcripts and interviews from the related parties, and he wants to read it. And it's at that point that the way I understand this from talking to a couple people yesterday is that he will then decide whether there's any merit to continue or potentially throw out some or all of it at that moment. So that's really the first milestone answer in this case. Everything to this point has been paper pushing.
Yeah, and we're not even to the deposition phase yet. We might never get to the deposition phase. Would depositions be interesting? Sure. Once they happen.
But you know they're going to have a very strict...
Yeah.
It's not going to be like Merkel or whomever can just go, well, I want to ask you about these 3,000 things that have nothing to do with this case. It's not how that deposition is going to go. It's going to be very straight-lined as far as the questioning for the most part.
I always talk to you. You and I have had this conversation so many times where I'm careful in football coverage not to get too into the X's and O's because it's a good way to look like an idiot.
It is.
How much law school did you go to?
I majored in political science for a semester when I thought I might want to be a lawyer, and I worked for a law firm for a summer in college.
Okay, well, it's more qualifications than I have.
I have transcribed a lot of depositions.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I
made an A in business law in high school, in college.
That's good. Yeah. I took a good bit of communications law in graduate school.
I took that too. Lee Tyner taught me.
Okay. Ironic.
Yeah. He was good. I had a good time in the class. Yeah.
My point is, I don't know enough about law to delve into a lot of this the way that others are. And I would just caution some to know that some of the stuff that you're getting worked up over, you're getting worked up over people who, A, have no knowledge of law, and B, are really emotional. Really emotional, with no knowledge of law, breaking down a lawsuit. I'm going to do what Chase has done, and that's just kind of talk to some attorneys that I do know. Hey, what do you make of this? And to this point, with me at least, believe it or not, I know some attorneys too. It's kind of probably not a lot.
Let's
there.
See.
We'll see.
There's a holding pattern.
It's got to get to a depositions phase, and even then, the other side, the people that are being deposed in this are going to fight those depositions because that's what attorneys do.
And are going to object anytime any question gets anywhere close to something not relevant to this case.
This is not going to be an episode of Law and Order.
Perry Mason, where at the end there's always the aha moment.
Right. Well, in Law and Order at the end is a moment in the deposition or in the trial where it's, oh, gotcha, there it is. Nope, not happening. It's not happening here. It just, I don't know. I mean, like I said on the message board yesterday, I don't know Terry Warren. There's no agenda here for him, against him. I don't know. Do I think Ole Miss got railroaded to a degree by the NCAA? I absolutely do. Do I think there was probably a conspiracy of sorts? Yes, I do. Do I think they're going to be able to prove that? Hell, they've already kind of sort of proven it in an NCAA hearing, and it did them no good. Now in a court of law, you're going to have to improve. In my understanding, you're going to have to prove some intent, some almost conspiracy. It's going to be difficult to do. If you watch, my opinion, and you talked to Ross. I wasn't there that day that you talked to him. I was out in California. But I have to believe that Ross Bjork and the people at Ole Miss would like for this just to go away.
Oh, I'm no one has told me that directly, but I do sense a feeling of, oh my gosh, just stop.
Just get past it.
Yeah.
There's going to
close the wound.
Yeah. I don't believe, and I could be wrong, and if I am, great. That's good news for Ole Miss, and it's some degree of justice, if you will. But I don't believe there's going to be this moment where there's retribution and payback, and Ole Miss gets millions upon millions upon millions of NCAA dollars back based on a finding involving rebel rags in a court in Mississippi. I just don't believe that's going to happen.
There's no sign as of right now that it is, for sure.
And if it is, it's a long way away.
Well, because then you're talking about appeals and, I mean, oof, years.
Kudos to those who are covering the fire out of it. That was not a...
My professional opinion, and when I say professional, I mean from a media speaking to people who would have an idea, is that it is, at this stage, making a lot out of it is disingenuous and, frankly, getting a lot of people's hopes up for probably a letdown.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's the one thing in news going on this week from a sports thing. Almost put out a Kermit the Frog video yesterday. That happened. Saw that. Give them credit for continuing to try things.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was fun. Had no issue with it. Which turned into then a meme competition on Vitter between
the faces.
Yeah, yeah. Bjork and adding some Vitter content and, you know, doing what you doing with it what you will. So what?
No, just some of the memes were funny. Some of the faces that the still shots.
Yeah, the internet was not completely awful yesterday. It was one of the few days where I thought, you know, you guys were sort of sane today. It was y'all were okay.
I thought that until the guy that took. He's a Southern Miss blogger, apparently. Did you see this?
I missed. Oh, hold on.
You probably.
We're discussing a Southern Miss blogger on the podcast.
Well, I didn't mean to see it. I stumbled across it right before I went on. I did the Gary Perry show yesterday from here, and right before I'm just kind of biding my time, and they'd taken, you know how Ole Miss put out the thing with the shark?
Oh, good grief. Yes, I saw.
To make the word white a racist word, and to, come on, stop.
Looking for attention.
Well, and just
think you're much funnier than you are.
Oh, I think he was serious.
Really?
Yes. I think he was being critical of Ole Miss for saying there's a new great white. Clearly referencing a shark on Shark Week with all white
uniforms. With a helmet coming out of the water.
And then he said, oh, you know all the old people. No, I would suspect a lot of the percentage of the fans who don't like that all-white uniform that they're going to wear in Houston on September the 1st, of the percentage of fans that don't like that uniform, my guess is the majority of that percentage is older.
Since it's a defensive intensity thing, shouldn't you be a hammerhead shark? That'd be a good one, right?
That would be a good one. It's a mouthful. We're the hammerheads.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we're mentioning it. I'm just saying, like you said, great white, wouldn't hammerhead be the best adjective or whatever
for you?
Might be,
but I mean, if you tell me, if I'm at the beach.
Although the hammerhead shark is kind of small compared to most sharks, right?
Yeah.
The great white's the big shark, right?
If I'm at the beach and you tell me there's a great white shark off the coast, off the shore here, I'm not putting a toe in the water.
You are if it's a hammerhead?
But I'd be less scared.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the hammerhead's a good bit smaller than the great white.
I mean, a great white is...
That's the alpha.
But people do stuff where you just think, what is it like to go through life with that sort of an agenda in your head at all times?
Well, it's probably just focused on Ole Miss. It's a Southern Miss guy probably mad about Ole Miss's monetary standing and success and has a chip.
By the way, Did you see the comments that were made by the president of the Big Ten Network?
I did, yeah, I did.
We haven't talked about this. That should send some shockwaves through athletic departments all over the country, shouldn't it?
Look.
September 1st, Chase, for those who don't know, starting September the 1st, Comcast, which is the big major cable provider in the Big Ten neck of the country, which is a big, big part of the country when you look at the Big Ten footprint. It's pretty big. Comcast is no longer making don't know how that happened. Comcast is not going to make the Big Ten Network part of its primary package anymore.
Yeah, its basic package.
In other words,
I think Comcast. I think I read somewhere this might have been actually from Matthew Stevens, who works at the Purdue rival site now. Comcast is the largest cable provider in 11 states in the Big Ten footprint, I think. 11?
Yes.
I think that's right.
Yes.
Which is all of them.
Which is a lot of big states.
Yeah.
Illinois, Minnesota, Ohio.
Yeah.
New York, Pennsylvania. These are big states with lots of televisions.
It means the money is not guaranteed at the level it is. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, we talked about the logic of the other side a second ago. It's also logic that as everybody cuts cords, you're going to lose some of that premium money coming from the number of subscribers in these contracts, whether it be the Longhorn Network or the SEC Network or the Big Ten Network. I mean, look, I'm sure I'm still paying a decent amount for the ESPN products. I don't think I'm paying what I was paying.
Because you've cut the cord.
I've cut the cord. I've been on Hulu Live, the Hulu TV thing, for 6 months.
How do you like it?
I like it. There's nothing I miss that I can't get elsewhere. I get plenty of channels. I get enough. Now, college football hadn't hit yet where I might have some of those regional vanity channels that bug me a little bit. Okay,
you like the NFL. Will this require you to get the Sunday ticket?
Well, no, because I still get my local television channels.
On Hulu Live?
Yeah. It's all the networks that I pay for, like 40 networks, and then I get whatever my local channels are. So I get ABC, Fox, and NBC or whatever out of Memphis. Those are included.
Okay.
And then I can also get a satellite, I mean, one of those antennas and bring in more if I want.
Does your package like include the NFL Network,
You know, the NFL Network, I'm not 100% sure. Although they've started doing a lot of those NFL Network games on other mediums on Thursday nights. So that's not a big – yeah, that's not as big of a deal. Hulu Live channels.
As the cord gets cut everywhere and this everything becomes a la carte, a lot of people who have been paying for, say, the SEC Network because it was just part of their package, they're not going to pay for it anymore. And that is going to change the money. And as the money changes, this is where this gets interesting, as athletics move forward – it's not something that's going to impact next year or 2 years or 3 years. But going forward, what happens when, like, Big Ten schools got $51 million each, if I read it right, when that money dries up? What changes?
Well, we've said this. Ole Miss is not anywhere near as bad as some of the schools on spending future money and going, well, this is always going to be the check we get, so we're going to push forward.
Let's say you're Ohio State, okay? Rutgers joined your league and got a piece of your pie for one reason and one reason only. It expanded your footprint into the New Jersey, New York market. When that's no longer an option, what do you look at Rutgers and go, hey, you guys don't belong here anymore?
Well, I don't know what the contract looks like, but
the SEC added Missouri for one reason. St. Louis, Kansas City, that footprint.
It looks like you did find the one hole in my channel lineup, NFL Network. The local channels I get in my area, ABC, which is kind of a national channel, and then I get News 3 out of Memphis, Fox 13 out of Memphis, I get Action News 5, I get Fox Sports Tennessee, I get Fox Sports Southeast, and then I get Telemundo, I guess. For some reason, that's listed as a local channel. I'm not sure why. And then sports-wise, Big Ten Network, CBS Sports Network, ESPN, ESPN Bases Loaded, ESPN Goal Line, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU, FS1, FS2, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Olympic Channel, SEC Network.
So no
Major League Baseball, no NBA TV, no NFL Network.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the holes. But I'm paying a third of what I was paying.
Yeah.
And on a day-to-day, because I'm not a big TV watcher anyway. I'm watching a game.
You could add the NBA package and stream it if you wanted to. I know you don't. But
Yeah. Of course. Any of that. And then you can add on any movie channels you want, any of that crap, and make it more expensive.
Probably going to happen here soon.
Really?
Our bill's insane.
Yeah, I upgraded my internet. I paid $11 more a month for the absolute fastest internet I could find in town.
Which I need to do anyway.
It was actually a really good deal. As much as we harp on them, I use Mac South for internet, and I was able to quadruple my internet speeds for $11 more a month.
That's worth it.
And it quadrupled them, and it's been consistent. We'll see if it lasts, but as of right now, it was average to good, but now it's really flying. I mean, I can stream three or four devices or TVs with HD and 4K at the same time and run right now without problems.
That's good.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just from a podcast standpoint, we've always had problems when I've been in my office in years past of it dropping the calls, and it's been fine the last – and you've been traveling a lot, so we've tested it a good bit, and it's worked over the last few weeks. So, no, it's been good, but, I mean, that's my point. I mean, look, the money's never – it's not going away, but it's going to lessen. It can't help but lessen. People are pulling out. People are mad about, well, I don't watch any sports, but I'm paying $12 a month for my ESPN package or whatever it is.
Well, you always talk about it. The Super Bowl is the big sporting event.
It is.
In America.
Yeah. Half the country still doesn't watch it.
Yeah.
They get about a 50 or whatever.
I mean, there are people out there who, when they say, I don't watch sports, they literally mean, I don't watch sports.
Zero.
And so those people, if you're one of those people, why do you want to pay for it?
Because ESPN is the most expensive package in your channel, in your package.
Yeah.
Period.
I just think those people, when things like the SEC Network become an a la carte item, they're going to look at it and say, well, no, I don't want that.
You're right.
So. Jeffrey Wright and other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Let Billy's Pecans handle your corporate gifting. They know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style and with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Check out the assorted gift bags, the party trio, the pecans and chocolate, or more. And they can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more, and it couldn't be more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com, 1-800-624-7404. And the podcast brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Also, we've mentioned this multiple times, but as game days are getting close, you can also use Blue Delta jeans for your game day wear. I put a few different stitch colors and pants color options up on Twitter the other day after Ole Miss released the new helmets. You can get white with red, red with white, powder blue, navy, and more there. So just because it's denim, a lot of it does not look or feel like denim. It stretches. It looks like slacks. They are slacks, too, when you look at the Holland and Cherry options. So just a thought there. If you want one one or two pairs to handle all your game days this fall, Blue Delta, a good option, BlueDeltaJeans.com.
I want some of the pink ones.
I think you've settled on the faded pink color for your next selection.
Thinking hard about it.
I went through all of them yesterday. I haven't decided yet. There was a couple that stuck out to me, but that was I'm probably going to let you get the pink ones just so we don't run the risk of wearing the same pink ones on the same day. It kind of bugged me a little bit. But, yeah, there's a couple different options that were meeting my eye. I saw SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey stopped in yesterday in the Blue Delta. I don't know what he was in town for or not for. No clue. You?
It's probably just a regular stop.
Think he just goes around all 14 from time to time?
I'm fairly sure that he
does.
What's
up? How's it going?
Yeah, I think that's what happens.
Okay. Seems wasteful, but sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of waste.
Well, it's wasteful, though. You got FaceTime. You got conference calls. Is there a problem? I mean, what are you doing? Hoping for jeans and a meal out of the day? I mean.
It could be.
It's true.
Worse things to get than jeans and a meal.
I'm going to get some jeans. I'm going to go to St. Leo. I'm going to go to Auburn and eat at what Acre or whatever it is. I mean, you know, just make a.
Acre was good.
Acre was good.
It really was.
Make a day out of it. So, anyway, plenty of podcasts coming your way. Soft Verbal, Beer Garden, and the greatest pod in the South as well. And we'll have Barrett Salee on the show tomorrow on the Billy's Pecans Hotline and the Oxford Exxon podcast. So, plenty of options here on the MPW Digital Network, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.